What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
I'm fine. How are you, Randy?
I'm doing well here in California, but let's just take a minute and let our listeners kind of in on what France is like. Why don't you give us, just before we dive into the real estate stuff, give us a little bit of a kind of a what you've been up to in France.
Well, I actually started traveling on Saturday, and there's a nice nonstop flight from D.C. to Paris. But I'll tell you, with all the time zone differences right now, time zone, I'm about 6 hours. Well, I'm 12 hours ahead of Hawaii.
Wow.
6 hours ahead of East Coast, and 9 hours ahead of you.
Yes.
And
So it's like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, the time zone changed. So the last 2 days I've been very tired. But France is beautiful. And right now I'm actually in La Rochelle, France, which is where I was born. And it's about 4 hours from Paris. And the weather right now is similar to the weather on the East Coast and Maryland, for example. It's been going from, it's right now March, it's been going from 50 to 70, Fahrenheit. Very, very, the town that I'm in, most of the buildings were built from 1100s to 1600s. So it's very beautiful on the seashore, on the Bay of Biscayne.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
Definitely, but I'm just,
That's awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah, very, very awesome. And
and what's the temperature? What's the weather like?
It's about 50 to, it was about 50 yesterday, but it's about 50, anywhere from 50 to 70 right now this time of year, give or take.
Nice.
Evenings may be down to 40 some, and I'm telling you, Fahrenheit, not Celsius.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So,
very
yeah,
cool.
But interesting, very interesting. I've not going to be able to do as much as I had wanted to do. So, but it's beautiful. It's always beautiful to be able to travel, and it's the beauty of the internet. We can get right on the phone and plug in and do what we need to do. Huh?
Well, the second half of the show today, I want to you know, for those who are just tuning in for the first time, first half we talk real estate, really nuggets from Natalie on real estate stuff, and then second half. We talk about God, the universe, giving back, all of the above. In Hawaii, they call it pono, right? Doing the right thing, whatever that is for you. And we're going to talk about generosity. The idea of generosity as a lifestyle, giving, and the fact that you can't outgive the universe, you can't outgive God. You know, it seems like, as we've talked about, you know, Oprah and, you know, these other folks that just, the more they give, the more they get back. And I know you're big on that, Natalie. We'll talk more about that second half. But real estate stuff, what are we doing today?
We're just going to go over buyers investing, some different investing opportunities for buyers.
Okay.
Different opportunities to look at, and a little bit about the buyer rebate program, which you can get into with affiliates with ours, or in all 50 states.
Hmm.
There's so many different ways to invest. So we're just going to touch on a little bit about that.
Okay.
Buying spot lots, modular homes, dividing, how you can get into construction financing and possibly save up to 40% of what it would cost you if you were out there buying it already made, already built. So.
Wow.
Buyers, okay, just a couple things people don't think about. Lots of buyers, and a lot of what we're talking about is going to be for the smaller investor. There's many people out now, right now, wanting to figure out what to do with their monies, and you know, the interest rates are fantastic. Some of the financing is loosening up. Prices are phenomenal. We touched last week on the 10 areas around the country that a lot of global buyers are coming to. Florida made 6 out of 10 on the list. And so in that respect, you can pick up properties that are very, very inexpensive for a great deal, still get fantastic financing. You may even want to look at owner financing, what the owners are offering. Of course, we have lots of short sales. So there's so many ways to buy. But what we were going to talk about a little bit today was actually going in and buying a spot lot and doing construction building yourself. You could do this with a yourself. You can do it with an individual builder. You could also buy a spot lot and put a modular home on it. I would highly suggest getting more information on modular homes. It's amazing. Years and years ago, people were leaning away from modular homes, saying that they weren't as securely built as a stick-built home. Now, a stick-built home is built literally stick-built. You know, they start in, put in the foundations. They're going to put in the beams, the walls. They're going to do everything stick-built by hand. A modular home is actually built in the factory, and now so many are so good. I mean, can you picture a modular home driving down the freeway and still being secure? So they're much better built now than they were, and you can actually Google and find information on modular homes as well. It's amazing. You could actually do a little bit of a modular home, a little bit of a stick built. There's so many ways right now to still cut down your cost. Now, somebody may chime in that's a builder and say, hey, lumber's gone up, this has gone up, that's gone up. And that's true, just like gas has gone up. But we have to figure out, when you're looking at the whole picture of what you're going to do, look and see where you can cut your cost and where you can't. And when you plan this, you'll be able to see that you may be able to save quite a lot of money, up to 40%. Not in all circumstances, but it's worth looking into right now if you're serious about investing on a smaller scale, or maybe even investing just maybe you want to move to another area and you want another house, or you're going to sell your house and you want to move into another house. This is something to really look at and not shy away from them. When I say spot lots, that's typically just one lot that you're going to go in and purchase. Another way to do it sometimes is there are existing properties that maybe have enough space to build another property on, and you have to check with the current zoning to see if you can do this. But say there's an older home on just a half an acre, and the building code allows you to put 2 homes on a half an acre. You could possibly purchase that existing home for hopefully a little bit under market value, build another home on the property. Now, everything we do on the show, we come into some things that you and I agree, Randy. These different topics could be put into a 3-day full-day seminar.
Yeah.
No, they really could, workshop.
Yep.
So what we're doing is we're giving you food for thought. We're giving you the ideas, and they're great ideas, and the things, and then you need to dig in. You can contact us also. You may want to come to some of our workshops or get into some of the home study workshops that we're offering. And, learn about this. But it's really, there's so many possibilities. So please don't think that, hey, I don't have a ton of money to spend, I can't do this. So going back to the buying a property that already is an existing property that has room to build another property on it, and you can divide. And what I mean by divide is you would actually be able to have a separate deed. So then you could actually take that property that you've built on that lot and possibly make full profit on selling that, and then still sell the other one and really increase your profit margin.
Wow.
That's a great idea. So, of course, zoning has to be checked into, all these other issues. Now, in Hawaii, they call that CPRing a lot of lots. There's actually condominium property regimes that are done. And in Hawaii, the lots are much, much smaller, unless you're on the Big Island and you're over in the Hilo side or whatever. But, yeah, so you might say, oh, my gosh, it's only a 10,000-square-foot lot, but you still may be able to divide. It just depends on the zoning. And they call it a CPR because what they're doing is they're allowing different deed owners – to be in there, but they're going to be part of a CPR. So they, in that situation, you typically would have homeowner association rules, or they may not be like a whole big homeowner association, but you're going to have some rules and guidelines, and that has to be set up in a certain way. But it's very interesting. It's very doable. There's attorneys you can work with to do this. You get in, I mean, I've seen some people literally get into buying and selling this way, and that's all they do for a living. Other people, you know, do it just for themselves. But it's really nice to look at that property and say, hey, I can, what can I do with this? I can sell it off later and have a great investment.
Yeah, you kind of become, it's kind of like a developer mentality in a way. You start thinking about, like you say, land and, okay, what could we do with this? You know, for people who are visionary, this is really a good way to go, right? It's like, you know what, this would I could visualize this little community or these three or four homes or whatever, and you separate them and split them up, and, you know, if you get the land and you get the, you know, if the, it all pencils out. I had a developer friend who used to say, it's got to pencil out, you know, and but he would do that. He would buy property and do exactly what you're saying, and it kind of grew into more of a, like you do shopping centers, and he kind of expanded. But he started onesies, twosies, man, just homes.
Yeah. Right. And then you can take the profit and put it into your next project and go on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
It depends on what you're into doing, you know.
Wow.
And you learn so much by doing it firsthand and getting in and just digging in. And sometimes people say, okay, I want to build a new home. I want a new house. And they're thinking they have to find a new home. They have to find, you know, the developments and just already have it completely finished. And they just get the loan and they do it. But you know, it may be working out better with a lot or modular homes. Honestly, modular homes have really come a long way. And I've seen people get a decent-sized modular home for $60,000, $70,000. I mean, that's just amazing,
wow,
right? So
wow.
When you look at the square footage cost of what you could pay, it's incredible and what you can save doing it these other ways. So on financing, typically you would go in and get construction financing, which is going to require a little bit more money down. Some want 20, 25% down, but the money will be given in increments. So that's another thing to check into too.
Mm.
So it's just interesting because just giving you food for thought and different ideas on how to do things. And
modular homes, I've noticed, are the quality is just really improved. I mean, you can sometimes nowadays it's hard to tell, you know, what is a modular home and what is not. I mean, at first glance, and originally they were seen more like, oh, it's a trailer, but now really a lot of people, and especially I noticed up in the foothills here in central Northern California, a lot of people put modular homes on their properties.
Yeah, and they're definitely different than the trailer. You know what I mean? Than the actual.
Oh yeah.
They still sell. Like, they're definitely different than a mobile home. You know, people take mobile homes, and sometimes they'll go ahead and they'll attach them to the ground and permanently fix them. These are modulars are definitely different than a mobile home. And you can actually shore it up even more. You know, somebody can go put in more 2x4s and more nails and do things. And it's just very interesting. You know, you could actually, have the builder stick build part and you do the other. And now how do you find these types of properties? You can, go through local real estate agents and ask them to do searches for you and bring them in even as a partner. Or let them just get the commission for finding it for you. There's many different ways to do this, and it's good to have a working relationship with an agent in your area, a broker in your area, to so that you're not going to miss some of these things, and as well as looking through the papers and seeing foreclosures and short sales. And it's research. And what happens is once you start researching that one area that you're looking in, you'll learn what the zoning is and be able to go in and do that. And then as you grow, yes, you may want to go ahead and do small developments, 10 homes, 20 homes, 30 homes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to bring in other partners. But it's just a whole nother avenue. But if you're not into making it your business, hey, it's great just for one property for you to do, you know, and invest in. A lot of we're seeing around the country, a lot of people are, and even around the world, a lot of people are getting into rentals, which was something that was really not the push for the U.S. for years. You know, it's always been home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing more and more people look at monies, look at what they can buy. Sometimes they could rent for cheaper than they can buy. Possibly people are in business and they're going to get a write-off if they rent. So if their corporation is paying for it and it's not saving them the tax write-off, they may look at that. So if you were going to get into even, say, buying and building a smaller home and then renting it out market value, you're always going to be, you know, the newer the home is, the more money you're going to be able to get, and an appreciation as well as doing that. I've always loved the idea where you actually go and find existing properties and build something else on that existing property.
Mm.
I think that's always a good way to go too.
Yeah. Well, I just, I know, and you kind of get the fever, I can imagine, you know, you see the profit margin maybe, and you know, you buy some, you know, you buy it right, you build it right, and all of a sudden you sell it for whatever and make a whole bunch of money. I can see how you begin to think of it as a business.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to talk to your tax accountant too, so that you plan, because if you're going to get in on the investing type and you're an investor and it's a short-term investment, you're going to pay higher taxes, right? You know,
yeah.
Than if it's something you're holding on to for a couple years. Or some people go in and they move into properties and they live in them for a few years and then go ahead and sell. Now, the IRS tax rules in 1997 that gave up to $500,000 in for principal residences, and if you're married, $250,000 if you're single, used to be you had to live in it 2 of 5 years. A lot of people were getting wise and moving into these properties just temporarily and then going out. So they changed some of the rulings. You still have to live in it 2 of 5 years, but there's some other guidelines that are in there as far as when you buy the property and how you purchase the property. Mm-hmm. So anything you're doing like this, you want to talk to your accountant.
Yeah.
So that you're planning. But it's really interesting because, and we can teach you through our workshops if you want to purchase any, or you can buy the home study purchase. And I'm not trying to sell anything on here. I'm just saying that there's good avenues for education to learn, because a lot of these different subjects that we're going to cover, they're not rocket science,
right?
But there are different P's and Q's. You know, you got to dot your I's, cross your T's.
Yeah.
That are always going to be pretty much the same. You know, you want to make sure everything's in writing. You want to check out the zoning. You can't go by somebody just telling you that you can do this, and then you buy it and find it you can't. You know, so you need to really double check everything.
Man,
and
that's awesome.
But it's similar for everything. Even if you were going to go in and do commercial projects, you know, you're going to commercial projects sometimes have some fantastic tax benefits, you know. So
wow, that
there's
is
so much that you can do.
Awesome information. We've got to take a break, and we're going to be back with Natalie Mullinex, Realty Universal Radio, in a moment. Don't you dare go anywhere.
A lot of people getting freaked out at church. I don't. I love doing comedy in churches, man. I do comedy for all kinds of denominations, you know, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Lutheran, non-denominational, non-denominational, they don't know what they are, non-denominational, you're not fooling anybody, this means you're a Baptist church with a cool website, that's all that means right there, that's all that means, that's all it is. Non-denominational. Probably have a cool Christian coffee house that you're non-denominational. The name like Holy Grounds. Jehovah Java. Hebrews. Seriously, folks, if you can't laugh at yourself, come on. Laugh at other people. That's what I say, seriously. That's in the Bible. Look it up. That's in the scriptures. That's in the Message Bible. Well, I love that Message Bible. That is a laid-back Bible, isn't it? I thought the Living Bible was laid-back. That Message Bible is like, what is this? The recipe for Rice Krispie Treats. What is this? The part of Joseph is being played by Johnny Depp. This is awesome. And Jesus changes the water into wine coolers. That is amazing. Because that speaks to me. That's where I am. And the bottle turns blue when it's cold enough to drink. I love domestic fiber. I love it.
It's got to lighten up, man.
I don't know. People say I do Christian comedy. I mean, I am a Christian. I do comedy, but Christian comedy really doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, there's no Christian plumbing, you know. To be honest with you, I don't care what your belief system is. I just want my pipes clean. You know what I'm saying? My toilet's going like this. You can make it go like that. You are hired, Krishna. I don't know. I guess I could do like a lot of Christian baseball players. You know, when they hit a home run, they point to God. Like after a good joke. Christian baseball players. What if a Satan-worshipping baseball player hits a home run? All right. What about an agnostic? All right. That was a waste of time.
All right, we are back. Realty Universal Radio. Randy Zachary, my name, Natalie Mullinex, her name, and she is live from France. And this is pretty exciting stuff. We've been talking about, again, investing and different ways to do it. And every time you get into one of these, I get all fired up about something. And right now, you've got me motivated to thinking about buying spot lots and maybe a modular and maybe making some money. Who knows? But I appreciate all
Absolutely.
Of the info.
Absolutely. And what I wanted to mention is, of course, you can go to realtyuniversal.com, contact us for more information. You can also sign up for some of the programs if you want to get any more workshops. And because this information that we go over is just, there's so much to learn. But this just gives you food for thought and different ideas on to put on your list for investing. Mm. And we also have, through our affiliates, a fantastic buyer rebate program in all 50 states. If you want to get in with one of the affiliates and start using them to find the properties, you would be doing a lot of the legwork under the buyer rebate program because it's designed almost like sweat equity with a builder. If you do the work, you get credit for it. So, and in states where they say a buyer can't have a buyer rebate, you can actually still have the buyer rebate. We just call it our buyer rebate program. It's legal in all 50 states, and it's structured through the contract. So there's times that the sellers actually, the affiliate broker agents reducing their commission, the sellers actually paying the monies down towards yours, so that's how you end up getting the rebate. Mm-hmm. Some states you're able to just get the rebate right at closing. So it's all done effectively and organized and properly. So if you need any help in all 50 states and want to dig in, just go to realtyuniversal.com and fill out Contact Us. Please put in the area you're in, the county, zip code, you know, all the information you can and exactly what you're looking for so that you can be placed with the proper person. Mm. We get many responses that are very general, and then it takes more time to place you with the proper person in the proper area. So the more detailed, the better, and always include your county. And we look forward to communicating with you through our programs. And thanks for listening. Now we're getting ready to go to the second half of the show, and I'll turn it over to Randy.
All right, again, realtyuniversal.com, the website, Facebook, Realty Universal Radio, and we're also on Twitter at Realty Universal Radio. So we're socially connected, and I would love to connect with you, and more listeners are tuning in each week, and we're excited about that. And here we go. Yeah, the second half of the show, we typically talk about, again, you could call it self-improvement or, you know, some people, God consciousness or giving back and, you know, kind of talking spirituality on the wholesale level here. We're not getting too into you know, drilling down on stuff, but a practical kind of
wholesale level. I've never heard it put that way. I like that.
Yeah, wholesale, because that way it's, you know, a little more kind of general. I think people get kind of tripped up sometimes, and you know, when you start getting into the retail, if you will, part of you break down religion. But I think we can all agree, those of us who agree there's a God, you know, someone bigger than us. I think we can kind of begin there, and I think we also all agree that giving back You know, it says that, you know, in the Bible, more blessed to give than receive, and in other religions as well and traditions, it's giving back. Selflessness is a big, big deal. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to one of the guys who was one of the authors of The Me Addiction, but, you know, the idea of giving and generosity is a lifestyle, I guess, is what I am really trying in my mind, to rewire, if you will, my mind, because I think most of us human beings, we grew up in this culture, which is, you know, it's about us. What can we get? And yet I think Oprah Winfrey and Bill Gates, and there's all kinds of other folks mm-hmm. who are great role models for us of, you know, you can't outgive the universe. You can't outgive God. And the more they give, the more they get back.
And isn't that amazing? So they have plenty, plenty to give over, and then other people give, and Oprah's able to get sponsors to give, so she's able to still increase her wealth but still be able to give back because of her name, in so many ways. And it's just incredible. And when you think about it, though, you know, it's part of what we're supposed to do in spirit and soul, because we can't take things with us, and we don't always have to give back. It doesn't have to be writing a check and saying, here's the money, although that's wonderful for donations and philanthropy. So it's just, I agree, Randy. It's just, it's like we're such a, we all need love and peace, right? Love
yep.
and peace
yep.
is the big thing. And when you give, you're making someone else's world better too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you said about it isn't about writing a check necessarily. Although, again, the money side of things really, and that's why Jesus, interestingly, in the Bible, talked more about money than he did heaven or hell. Because he knows that.
Did he really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Because God knows that, you know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you worship money, you know, if money is your God, if that's the end game for you, then he knows that it's going to be very difficult for you to buy into, you know, spirituality and loving others, because, it's your God. And so the idea of letting go and understanding that God is the owner, really, of everything. The earth, you know, is God's and all that's in it. So we're kind of managers, I guess you could say, money managers of what he gives us. And giving back is a huge thing, and it's so difficult. I know for me, I read these kind of things, and there's a guy named Brian Kluth, a great 40-day journey. It's called A 40-Day Spiritual Journey to a More Generous Life, and you can go to briankluth.org and check him out, or Google Brian Kluth, K-L-U-T-H. But he's, a generosity expert, and he just has this 40-day devotional to a more generous lifestyle. Go ahead.
The Purpose-Driven Life, too, with Rick Warren.
Purpose-Driven.
They have a 40-day
yep.
Course also, and why am I here? What am I supposed to be here? What's my purpose and my mission to serve?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, 40 days. There's something about that 40 days. You know, Jesus fasted for 40 days, and, you know, all throughout the Bible there's fasting, and there's 40-day periods, and I think that's why Rick and Brian and others have chosen a 40-day period, because you really, and you know, they talk about 30 days to change a habit, and 40 days, you know, again, just the biblical model. But giving, and whenever I read one of these devotionals or books on giving, I think, wow, it sounds so cool. Like, here's what he says. He says, for those of you who want to start actually giving, when you get any money, set aside 10% or whatever you want to start giving. Set it aside. So, write out the first check to, you know, charity or to God or whatever you want to do. And if you track your finances through a bookkeeping system or computer program, set up a category for giving. And, you know, it sounds really cool when you read it. And then, honestly, when I get that check and I start, you know, my paycheck and I start writing out bills, it becomes very difficult. I'm face-to-face every couple of weeks with my selfishness because, I see... wow, I could give $300 here, or I could save that for me later, you know, and that battle of generosity versus me and what's in it for me, and it's just...
And it's still good to save. You still want to make sure you're taking care of you, especially for rainy days, too. So
absolutely.
Look at the whole picture, yeah.
Good, way to go. Good save on that one, because you're right. You absolutely do. I think Dave Ramsey talks about when you get a paycheck, you need to save some, you need to give some, you need to spend some, you know, and it's really kind of simplified, but that's true. You need to do all three of those with any given paycheck. And I think, and I know,
that
I get
book,
it.
The book called The Richest Man in Babylon, And they talk about the 10%, you know, and,
yeah.
And of course in the Bible it talks about tithing 10%. And so that's, it's always good to, you know, it's really good. One of the things I think that I hope they start in schools at some point, but I know when I went to school they didn't do it, you know, through your lower education and going up, is finances, you know, teaching us how to save, how to put monies away, what to do, how to spend, how to budget. You know, it's all very important because when we balance everything out, then we can do these other good things for everyone else as well. When we're always chasing the dollar and running and trying to make it, and at the end of the month it's all gone and trying to do it all over again, it's kind of like getting on that perpetual treadmill or the mouse maze?
Yeah.
Mice maze.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just over and over and over and over and over and over again, and then you're not having the peace because you're just stressing for the money again. And it's interesting if you pull back and reevaluate and start doing these other, using these other tools, how much better it gets. And I wish I would have known that 20 years ago even, you know. I can tell you the monies that came in real estate for years that just went back out for overhead and overhead and overhead, and had I known more about that then, it could have been handled so much better, you know.
Yeah.
And it all—it's funny. We're creatures of habits, and it really is about saying, okay, how am I going to go from today? I'm dealing with that with my brother's death right now, which I'm still grieving horribly, and it's been now 2.5 months. And it's so painful, and I've started saying, okay, how do I? It's the same as with everything. Okay, how do I go from today? I've got to start reprogramming my brain. I've got to start looking at the positive. I've got to start because I know he would not want me to be so upset daily, on a daily basis. It doesn't make it easy, but I'm saying. But it, I guess the point I'm making is, in life, life. This is life, and I woke up about 2 weeks ago thinking, oh, dear God, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be doing my mission, and I know I've been through a lot of things in my life, and I've handled them pretty well, I think, with your help, but here I'm not handling my brother's death, and how are you going to give me the mission and the work I'm supposed to do if I can't handle things? And I realized, wait a minute, death is a part of life also. These tragic deaths seem to be so confusing to me because they don't seem natural, but it's a part of life, and I started going, oh, my gosh, I get that I have to start learning to deal with this, or how are you going to give me the things I'm supposed to do it? I don't mean monetary. I mean the mission, and you and I, Randy, you know what the mission is and how we do things. And it's the same with the finances, going over to finances. Hey, God expects us to be good stewards, and if we're not taking care of what we have already, we're not going to become abundant in the other areas. It's just the rules of the universe. You know, we have to learn these things. So you've been doing the same thing for over and over and over for years. You can't expect it, you know, to feel, it's going to feel funny when you start making these changes on a daily basis that Randy's talking about, and you start digging in and learning other ways of doing things and other habits. And that's where Randy was suggesting the 40 days, which I think that makes total sense because I've always heard about the 30 days, you know. So these shift changes are really going to bring you the peace and the love. And we harp on that through our shows all the time about the peace and the love, because I think that's what gives us the strength to carry on and go. So life is wonderful, but it's also going to be painful, you know, and these changes can be painful. But the goal is not to be living in pain. The goal is to learn how to adjust to life changes and keep peace within ourselves and move on.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to digress there, Randy, but going in full circle, bringing back what you talked about, and then bringing the spiritual and how we have different, we all have different issues going on at all times in our lives. So,
yeah. And generosity is, as you said, again, well put. It's about more than money, you know. And it's funny because people, you know, talk about church and preachers and all they want is your money and blah, 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 blah. You know, and some do. Absolutely, there's some charlatans, and, you know, they drive around in the Rolls Royces and the Rolexes and the stuff like that. I get that, but the concept of giving is one that is universal, and you can't outgive the universe, you can't outgive God. And generosity, whether it's time, talent, or treasure, whether it's money or time or your talent, there's all kinds of things. And if the 10% scares you, do five, do whatever. I know when I got back into it, I mean, I've gone through seasons in my life where I've not been generous. And it's, it often happens when I don't have much money, and it's like, how can I afford to be, you know, giving you when I can't pay my mortgage or my, you know, when you start to circle the wagons financially. Brian Kluth would tell you, you can't afford not to during those times, because it's a principle that will help you dig out of that. And so it's counterintuitive to what our natural thinking is of, wow, how do I think about generosity when I'm broke? Well, that's the point. You need to start thinking about generosity, because you can give your way literally out of that situation. Brian Kluth calls it God's crazy math. He goes, I don't understand it. I don't pretend to understand it. All I know is it's a universal deal. And when you begin to give and you begin to think about others, and I'll give you an example. I had gone to an ATM and got out $40 on a Saturday a couple months ago. And, you know, just always like to have, you know, something in the pocket. So then we go to a church that we were just visiting. I don't even know these people. And they started talking about this and that, and they have a missions, this and that. And they're going to take a special offering for a missions thing. And Natalie, almost audibly, I heard the Lord say, you know, give the $40, you know.
Wow.
And I just felt so impressed to do that. And I fought it. I'm like, I want to go out to eat after. And I did, you know. And actually, in that battle, as the plate was being passed, by the time it got to me, I was able to give hilariously. The Bible talks about God loves a hilarious giver, somebody who can give, you know, and be happy about it, because it's making a difference. It's, you know, and I was, by the time the plate got to me, I gave, and I was so thankful that I took that money out and I could give, and I saw God's plan in that. And there are other times I've given and it's not been, you know, I've not been hilarious about it. You dread it, and you're no, I couldn't afford that. And you're going to fight those things, but fight through that natural feeling of stinginess. Fight through it and know that whatever you give out there, it's going to come back again, pressed down, shaken together, running over is what we're told. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, again, generosity is a lifestyle, and I would really recommend Brian Kluth's 40-Day Spiritual Journey to a More Generous Life. And, you know, he talks about in there making lists, you know, and writing stuff down is always important. We know that. We talked about that in goal setting a few shows ago. But
absolutely.
Write a list down. Where's your money coming from? Go ahead and write in, you know, make a list of where your income is coming from. And then go ahead and make another list. Where is it going? You know, again, Dave Ramsey talks about, you know, telling your money where to go rather than wondering where it went, you know.
Get rid of credit card debt. You know, the high interest on the credit card debt, that's the first thing you want to start paying down.
Get that done.
Nowadays, they have so many cards and bank plans where you can actually earn money with your credit cards. So if you get in the habit of, you know, they have the travel cards, they have bank cards where, you know, earn 1% on your money, earn this, earn that. It's good to investigate, you know, when you want to need to have cards, to investigate that so that you can even buy your groceries and get money back and then pay it off at the end of the month. Don't keep a balance so that you can get credit for what you're doing and still have it. But if you have the high debt credit cards, that's the first thing you want to look at and start paying those down to get rid of them. It's just not worth it. It's just you're being a servant to the lender. It's just no good. There's no upside to that.
No, it isn't. And we just get, and we got really into that a couple years ago when we kind of bought into Dave Ramsey's stuff and paid off about $27,000 in credit card debt in 2 years. And, you know, and it just,
congratulations.
You just can breathe. Like he says, you breathe new air, man. You just, wow. I mean, we have extra, you know, and you can give some. You can save some and you can spend some. Hey, I want to. I've got a couple more minutes here on this side. I wanted to end really, if I could, with a story of a millionaire giver. There's a guy named Steve, owned a small business, made about $50,000 a year, and he went to a conference and heard Dr. Bill Bright challenge everyone in the audience to give $1 million to God. Okay, this guy's making 50 grand a year. After the message, he went up to Dr. Bright and said, you know, you didn't really mean that my wife and I should be included, you know, with the people that are going to give $1 million. And he said, well, how much did you make last year? He said, about $50,000. And Dr. Bright said, how much did he give to the Lord? And he said, about $15,000. And, you know, he thought...
I think $15,000 on 50, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah. So, you know, and then Dr. Bright said, well, next year I want you to trust God to allow you to give $50,000. And Steve said, well, that's my entire salary. And Dr. Bright said, trust God, and if he provides you with the funds, give the $50,000. Long story short, Steve went home and his little business did so well that they lived on their $50,000 salary, and they were still able to give $50,000 away.
Wow.
And the next year it grew and it grew and it grew, and there we go. He's beginning to be Oprah status, you know, beginning to be Bill Gates status. And again, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive
That's
the universe.
Amazing.
And I just want to challenge you to do that. Again, BrianKluth.org, K-L-U-T-H is the guy's name, and just some powerful, really encouraging on developing a generous lifestyle. And that's what I got on our side on the
I love it.
On the second side today. So you have fun in France.
Huh?
You have fun in France.
Yes, yes, yes. I will be.
I didn't realize you were born there. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm a French citizen and American citizen.
Wow.
But I'm very Americanized since we came to the U.S. when I was two. So that's why I sound like this, and I need to really practice my French. And I was. My brother was born here too, and I was actually born about 15 minutes from where I am right now. And pretty interesting stuff, you know.
Cool.
So it's really interesting to me because of the European Union, you know, the benefits you have if you're also a dual citizen. And, but I love, you know me, I love learning and having experiences and the intellectual travel. And so thank God for the Internet. You're in California. I'm in France. And we're still doing it the same as if we're, right?
Yeah, baby.
It doesn't matter. So, yeah. Thank you, Randy. I really love the second half of what you got into because I think it's so needed for people to look at this. And, you know, all this stuff has to be gone over and over again, you know, because...
Yep.
It's part of life and part of keeping that peace.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have to retrain ourselves all the time. It's all about getting better and better and better. And as you said, tapping into literally, you know, the Godness in us, and you know, the Jesus in us, and there's a divinity there, and a higher self, some people call it, but whatever you want to call it, there is a. And there's a need to focus on that because we get caught up in all the stuff on this planet, as you know, and I know you're in the middle of some stuff, as it were, right now, and we all have stuff. I know Plato said something that was really cool. He said, you know what, be kind because everybody you meet is fighting a hard battle. And I thought, that's so true. Everybody has stuff going on, whatever it is.
And you never know. Like, I'm usually so positive and upbeat and whatever, and I've been so down and negative. And with my brother, you know, I could cry at the drop of a hat. And you know, you think, when you cry so much for 2.5 months, you know, the circles are bad. And and I know somebody that would see me on the street would be like, what's her problem? Some people, and not realize, hey, wait a minute, this is so painful. And
what's going on?
And we don't want to judge because usually, you know, I've always, when you say, hi, how are you? And they go, fine. You know, you're like, oh, okay. But maybe they just had a horrible thing. Maybe something horrible is going on. You know?
Absolutely.
So you know, that extra smile, it doesn't take much. Mm. Like I say before, what was it, 72 muscles to smile. No, 72 muscles to frown and only 14 to smile, you know.
Yeah, it's easier.
And I think that inner peace that we can work on through meditation, through balance, through whatever, gives us, and the strength that God gives us with our spirit and our souls, gives us that bounce where we can go through these challenges. And we're human, so we need to feel and we need to express. I totally disagree with people saying, hold it in, don't express, don't show your emotions.
Right.
I would disagree
for
all the many in the world
to
that statement. I think that's the worst thing people can do is is not let it out. I think people need to let it out. They need to express. Some of us talk. That's my way, talk, cry. Other people maybe, you know, go exercise more, or they're going to, there's just, you know, journaling's good.
Mm.
But I think it's really good to be who we are, own our own reality, be who we are and we know, and know that God is protecting us. And we are loved, and if somebody's completely atheist, maybe, I mean, I think that would be a sad way to go. I think it's really wonderful if you tune into your own spirit and see the strengths that God gave us. I mean, there's definitely major intelligence design. There's no way we were just created by an explosion and, you know, the intelligence, although I think on Earth our intelligence may not be as high as other places, but I don't think that's an accident, you know. So I just, we're going to end the show with, hope you have a wonderful day, wonderful week, and I wish you peace.